Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Summer Breakfast with Sam Edmund and Simon O'Donnell.
Well, Melbourne AFLW premiers for the very first time. The Demons yesterday outlasting Brisbane in an arm wrestle up north to win by 4 points in what was a great day for the club. And the president, Kate Roffey, is with us this morning. Kate, good morning and big congratulations.
Oh, thanks. It's so exciting for our club. I'm so happy for our girls. They just give so much to play AFL for the Melbourne Football Club. So to see them win, it was an extraordinary game, actually. I have to go home and watch the replay because you sort of miss most of it when you're there. But, yeah, they tell me it was good watching on the telly and it's even better when you win it.
What was the emotion like in the aftermath, Kate?
Yeah, it's funny. People always go, what's it like? And I was just, when I had to get up early to do media, so save the girls doing it, and I said, I slept really well and I think I slept 7 years worth of relief last night. And the thing is, really, it is relief. There's such long seasons and AFL women's is so hard to win because so much depends on the draw and various other things. But, yeah, overwhelming emotion is just sheer relief that it's done and elation that you managed to come out on top. In a one game that defines season, and it's an incredible feeling. They're so happy, they were so excited. And I left them very early on last night, but I hear they got home a lot later than I did.
And I imagine that the sense of relief that you mentioned for someone like Daisy Pearce. I mean, from the outside looking in, there would have been a lot of pressure on her. She appeared to handle it really well, and you know, she was emotional after the sign, which you can understand. I'd like one of her lines, Kate. They invited the wrong team to their housewarming.
Yeah, I think we got there. I flew out with the girls on Saturday and we went out and drove out there and we went, oh, this is like Casey. So it was pretty much like our home ground down at Casey. It was windy, so it was a bit dry and hot out there. So, their will to win, I think, yesterday was really the thing. I've seen them, you know, been working so closely with them for 7 years and they matured as a group. But it's the final thing you know when you're in a place to win premierships, when you've got the maturity to guts out wins, and that's what they did yesterday. But here comes the fabulous Daisy Pearce now with the family just wandering past. But Daisy would be the first one to say it's not about her, and I don't think she personally felt the pressure for her to win it. It's more that she wanted so much to win for the team, and Daisy's the first one who says if I could make it not about me and I'm not the story, I'd be incredibly happy, and that's why it is about her to a large degree, because she's such a hugely respected figure in the game, not just by the way she plays, but, you know, the coaches will ask her as she comes off the field at halftime, what do you think? What do we need to do? She's just such a respected mind. But to go out with a premiership yesterday and, you know, be able to win with her team, I mean, there's no doubt that it absolutely puts the icing on the cake for what's a fantastic career. And not over yet. People are asking what she's going to do. I'd like to give her a bit of time to just digest this one first.
And Kate, just on the venue, I mean, the debate over venues for the build-up, not so much in the day after the game, I acknowledge that, but just this, while we're on it, I mean, what's the answer here, do you think, long-term? I mean, first of all, what was the atmosphere like and Springfield and all the rest of it? But this new time of the year, of course, with, you know, cricket's not going anywhere, the precedent has been set for home grand finals, which we like, I think, on paper, but we need a venue befitting of the occasion, don't we? What do you think the answer is long-term?
Absolutely. So we need more purpose-built women's venues. So, you know, they're playing at places like Unley and Glenelg, which are just not good enough for this level of competition. But if it is to be a home grand final, and, you know, I'm not against that, so if the minor premiers get the right to host, then the AFL needs to book a suitable venue now in every state for next year. And that's what we have to do. If you're not going to do that, you need to do the MCG-style thing and say, right, here's one venue, that's where it will be, or you do the NFL-style thing where you say, right, there's a venue in every state that's suitable and we just move it around, and that's announced at the start of the year. But we can't have situations where for the game, we just turn up and play wherever we have to. But for spectators, it was difficult to get. I've got friends and family up here who, you know, couldn't get tickets and things. So we really do need to have, as you say, enough spectators there that can actually really enjoy the game. So a lot more thought needs to go into the facilities. So if you're going to have it at cricket season time, then we need more facilities.
Kate, season length, the AFLW got that right. Would you like to see it a little longer, or do you think it's pretty much spot on?
No, no, it needs to, you know, a genuine competition. It needs to be, you play each team once at least. I mean, luck of the draw or unluckiness of the draw can really determine outcomes when you're not playing every team, particularly in expansion years where you just don't know how teams are going to go. So when we get to a fully fledged, every team plays every other team at least once, then you really do get to see who, you know, who's playing really well and who really is performing the best. I think, you know, fortunately this year, and fortunately for North Melbourne, as I said to President Sonia Hood, you know, they got through to the top four, and I think that was fitting. The best four teams in the comp got through in the end, but North Melbourne certainly had to do it the hard way coming through from eighth. So we got the right finals in the end, I think, but it's, you know, a bit of luck of the draw. We just can't have that.
Kate, I watched the game yesterday, and I thought it was fantastic. The toughness of both sides, the commitment of both teams, the pressure. So the game that was played, I thoroughly enjoyed it. The scoring being as low as it was, does that showcase the game properly? Would you like to somehow see that improve? Or are you happy where that sits for a scoreline that we got in the grand final yesterday?
Yeah, look, I'm not, you know, the scoreline is the scoreline. It was a tough game and people were saying it was a great game to watch. I'll have to go back and watch it again. But this is the thing of better venues. So one of the things interesting at Springfield is the ball didn't bounce off the deck. And we went out on Saturday and the girls did a few bounces. And we, you know, the coaches just said, don't bounce because it wasn't springing back. Now, it may come good. It might just be a bit early. But
wow. That
meant that the run and carry aspect of it, you know, probably wasn't as on show as it would have been. So it changes things a bit. But, yeah, we've been able to Optus, you know, my girls, Melbourne girls, and scored more than 100 points over there, you know, on a really good deck. So I think this does come down to venues. Again, if you're playing better venues, you'll get bigger scores and you'll get the women executing their skills better because they're not wind affected, you know, they're not uneven grounds and things. So this is a really big venue conversation that we need to have.
You mentioned it earlier, Kate, and I just, it's sort of, you know, sometimes when the men's comps being played, the MCG's not being used, you know, you shake your head and think, wow, you know, why isn't it being used? We have marbles sitting there, and I must admit, I'm on the side of, okay, a point of ground each year where the grand final's played, and let's say marbles, it's built for football, it's sitting there, you can doctor the conditions from the point of view of weather, where, you know, you're going to have dry weather footy if you want it with the roof closed. It just seems to have so many pluses, but it doesn't seem to be, I suppose, at the forefront of the discussion. Am I fair in saying that?
Yeah, look, we, you know, had we that 1 point minor premiership, we would have opted to play at absolutely MCG or Marvel. I think one of the Biebers or someone was due booked there for a concert, couldn't turn up, so it was actually free. But then that comes down to the question again of whether or not you get a home grand final or whether or not you do the MCG style thing. And I, you know, see pluses either way, but 100% we need good venues to play the grand finals wherever they're hosted in whichever state, and we need to get that locked in now.
So to showcase your game properly, and you talk about the bounce of the ball, you're saying not being able to run and carry, you eliminate all those issues by using Marvel.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a genuine test, isn't it? You've got the roof closed, it's genuine condition-free football, so that's a great ground. But then you don't get the home advantage if you're the team that finished minor premiership. So that's the downside of that. But you know, like I said, it's a conversation that we need to have. AFL was designed to be played outside in the elements, so we love that about the game. But yeah, it's the venues is probably, I think, across the board the biggest issue we've just got to address for our women at the moment.
Speaking to Melbourne President Kate Roffey. Kate, how do you absorb the national draft, which obviously gets started tonight and tomorrow, when we read that your footy club's trying to move up the order?
Yeah, no, look, they're always jostling and positioning. I've full faith in our list management team. So because I've been up here with the women, so I've forgotten that the draft is sort of happening today. But yeah, they'll, you know, the exciting thing is the trade on the night and jostling for position. So I'll wait and see. See there, but we're always watching. If I went to our list managers and asked about any player that I might see in the in the VFL running around, they'll be able to tell me who they are, what they play like. I've had a chat to their parents. So we always you know, maximise what we've got in the draft, but hopefully they might be able to move up at the moment. Depends on others. The unfortunate thing is finishing high up the ladder at the end of the season, isn't it? But we'll take that problem any day.
You will. So second on the ladder at the end of the home and away, of course, started 10-0. Just couldn't seem to hold leads or perhaps close out games in 2022 and lost a handful of games. I think maybe 5 of the 8 defeats came when you're up at half time. I mean, does that hunger, do you think, the dog hungry motivation? It's hard to measure, I know. It probably only has to be off 0.5%, 1%. Do you subscribe to that sort of a theory, or is just the margins are so fine at the pointy end of the season anyway that you know, there's only so much you can control, I suppose.
Yeah, look, there is. We just got a few bad injuries. Maxie and Track and Clary are, you know, sort of at the wrong time of the season. You know, to win a premiership, you've got to have so many things go right for you. They're long seasons. You really understand when you win that premiership how short the off season actually is. And as you say, it's a really, you know, being a psychologist by background, there's a very fine line to try and understand the difference between playing to win and playing not to lose. And, you know, making that slight adjustment is a really difficult thing. But the same as I said with our women, it's a maturity thing. So they'll learn, the men will learn a lot from that. And I think it's rare that, very, very rare that teams who haven't won for a long period of time go back-to-back after their first outing. You know, Hawthorn didn't do it. They had a bit of a break. You know, Richmond missed a year, then went again. So the signs are good, but yeah, everything's a learning experience, and as a club, we always sit there and go, okay, last year's best is not going to be good enough this year, so what do we need to do to keep improving?
And Kate, for the men, for the women, for the administration, the club's had a long-term ambition to come under the one roof, if you like, to unite the club. Mm-hmm. We know you're split there in terms of where you're deployed. So where are things at in terms of the new training facility for the Ds?
Yeah, look, it's absolute priority. The thing is, and again, I talk about this thing, is if we need more women's venues that have the Icon Park style set up. The problem, of course, is finding the green space, but we're certainly working on it. It's our priority. And now that we've got a settled government decision back in Victoria there, then we'll start working again on options to get everyone, as you say, under one roof and have our men and women, you know, albeit they train at different times, but at least they're at the same venue. I mean, they train at Amy Park together at the moment, but it builds that one club feeling, and that culture is really strong. I mean, it's what wills these girls over the line. It's what wills our men over the line. The knowledge that they're not just playing for themselves, they're playing for their whole club.
Well, Kate, congratulations. The women are premiers. The men will be contending again. Obviously, you traded well during the off-season. There's no doubt you'll be at the pointy end. So you've got a powerful club. You sit at the head of there. We really appreciate your time this morning and being willing to jump on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Always a pleasure to chat to you, and particularly when we've got another shiny premiership cup in tow.
Good on you, Kate. Well done to you and the women up there. Melbourne President Kate Roffey there after the Melbourne AFLW team saluted their inaugural premiership yesterday over the Brisbane Lions up there in Springfield.